This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. We will pray the Chaplet of your own hold. I'll do my very best to get you on the air. You know, last week I had mentioned on Friday that I had something to share with you today, but unfortunately I cannot share that news with you yet. It will be forthcoming. In the meantime, you know, just pray and let's pray together, okay? I promised. I didn't mean to leave you hanging. I will definitely tell you, and you're going to be the very first to know. So, again, thanks. Let's pray the chaplet. I have a special request to ask of you today. My wife got a terrible phone call over the weekend. Her cousin, and we've been praying for her periodically here on the air. Her name is Beth. She's the mother of two beautiful children, her daughter's just, I think her youngest daughter right now just graduated high school and is going into college or is in college for her first year. And she has a son and a husband, and she's been battling cancer. She's been going back and forth, and we've been praying for her. And she's so resilient, so generous, never complains. Reminds me of the great saints, you know. They endure these horrific sufferings, but they downplay it to the point where you don't even realize what's going on. St. Faustina, that would happen to her all the time when she first got to the convent. Faustina was very ill. Very, very ill. And she would be confirmed to the she was placed in the infirmary, confined to the infirmary is what I'm trying to get out of my mouth. And the other sisters thought she was just trying to shirk her work. And Faustina would get up from the table, hungry sometimes, to offer that up to the Lord to do penance. She'd pray the chaplet with her arms outstretched to offer penance and would offer every sacrifice and every suffering that came her way. And many of the sisters around her had no idea, none, what she was really going through. And I thought of my wife's cousin, Beth, who had been battling cancer, still is. Every time I saw her, she was joyful and hopeful. And that's a lesson to you and to me. Let's embrace our crosses. Let's not complain. Let's not waste the grace that we have. And I know we're going to pray that God will alleviate your pain today. We're going to pray for the miracles you need in your life. We're going to pray for that relief you're seeking from the anxiety, the pressures of the finances, the troubles at work, the relationships, whatever it may be. We're going to pray for that. And God can certainly put everything into motion for the better, which he will do. I'm convinced of that. But embrace it right now. Don't waste it. You know, don't waste this opportunity to take whatever struggle you have, unite it to that of the cross, and make it meritorious. My wife got a phone call this weekend. I saw her crying, and I'm like, honey, what's up? And she's like, my cousin Beth, you know, they have given her now just 3 days to live. And they're sending her back from the hospital, and she's going to be with just immediate family. And I can't imagine the father and the mother watching their daughter die. This girl's 49, 50 years old, let alone her husband now being left with two kids to take care of by himself, and let alone this young little girl, you know, this girl and this young boy, this son and daughter of hers without a mother or a father. This girl never have her mother walk down, you know, be there at the wedding. She won't be there for the baptism. She won't babysit for her. So, I mean, cancer is such a horrible thing. It really is. My heart goes out to this family. And I'd ask for those who mourn today, those who struggle with loss, those who are facing a very difficult time, to please pray for that. In fact, I got an email today from, I'll keep her name anonymous. She says, could you pray for Sue, who's having a CAT scan today? She says, a nodule showed up on her lung. Be the third time she's battled cancer. Please, Drew, pray that it's not cancer. And prayers for baby Sebastian, who's having surgery at the end of the week to remove part of his liver and gallbladder, which is cancerous. So, I mean, it goes on and on. In fact, my colleague here, Chris Flood, who joins me, she's lost many siblings, many family members to cancer. And Chris, you know intimately what I'm talking about, don't you? How devastating this can be for a family.
Yes, it's hard. It's very hard. All you can do is offer that up for other sufferings. And yes, I lost my parents and my oldest brother very young to cancer. But so we just pray for all those people who are experiencing that at this moment, knowing what they're going through.
All right. Is there anything you want to pray for?
I'd just like to pray for my children, my daughter and my two sons, for wisdom and guidance from the Holy Spirit in all decisions that they have to make.
Amen. I'll re-echo that for mine. There's a lot of parents saying, hey, I'm in on that prayer.
Yep.
Amen to that. It's hard being a parent sometimes. We still, you have adult children, you know, but You're still...
You don't stop being their parent just because they turn 18. No.
Not at all. Not at all. All right, well, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. If you're on hold, I'll try my best to get you on. I'm grateful for your prayers. And continue to pray for me. I need your prayers, too. I do. I really do. And I appreciate them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And Kay, if you're listening, I'm going to pray for you today too. And so grateful for everyone who's joining us now. Our first call today comes from Mary, listening in Dixon, California. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Father Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm not a father, though, Mary. I'm just a layman like you, like a layperson.
Okay. Miraculously healed my mother. She has colon cancer, adrenal gland nodule, I think is right over her kidney. She's diabetic. Right. Her iron level is very low because she has internal bleeding near her cancer area in her intestines. And she doesn't want to have surgery on Wednesday because of the side effects. You know, she could have diarrhea for the rest of her life and poo-poo bag, et cetera.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Well, you know what, Mary? Keep praying for your mom, okay? And we're going to pray for her right now. We'll pray again for cancer and for those who are facing surgery, and we'll put her in the hands of the Lord. And Lord, I give you again this intention today in particular for cancer. And I know sometimes it is the pathway to paradise, to eternal life. And if it is, I ask that those who have it are sanctified. I pray for those who carry medical problems, those who are facing surgery and waiting test results. I ask you, O divine physicians, to intercede and to heal if that be your holy will. And I thank you for the graces that are now flowing as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Patricia is listening in Minnesota. Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you, Drew and Chris and all of Relevant Radio, and not only for the beautiful ministry of the chaplet, but also for all the other programming. I'm asking for a big one. I'm asking for complete healing of a daughter who is 35 and has struggled with a severe depressive disorder for over 20 years. She's living with us and her two boys also, a little bit more than half the time, because she's divorced after domestic abuse. And I, you know, just for her healing and feeling her worth and the love of God, for her children, her two sons who have fears and behavioral issues and who were trying to help parent, for conversion of all of our children, grandchildren, ex-son-in-law, for discernment and vocation, of vocation and employment for our son and son-in-law. Our son's been unemployed since COVID started, our son-in-law even longer, for a year and a half. For a goddaughter, Marianne, who has also mental health disorders, and for an end to abortion, and strength as Christians to stay strong during these difficult times.
Such a beautiful litany of prayers, Patricia. Let's bring them to the Lord right now. You are here with your spiritual family. Lord, you promised that you would defend as your glory every soul that will pray this chaplet and when others pray it as well. So we intercede now for those who with mental health, with depression, with illnesses, with all sorts of other issues that Patricia brought forward. And I pray for those who now are united to me in prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Nancy's listening in Minnesota as well. Nancy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're
I just want to pray for my son that just died a few weeks ago.
Oh.
His name is Brian, and he has three kids.
Oh.
And I just want to pray for all parents that have gone through losing a child. This is our second child that we've lost.
Poor thing.
And I just want to pray for his kids that they stay close to God and just everybody that's lost a child. It's very painful.
Well, Nancy, my heart, it goes out to you, and I can't imagine what you're going through. It's just... to me, it's unimaginable to lose a child, and I want to pray for your heart and for you, for your whole family, but in particular for every one of those intentions, for your son who God just called home, and you will be united with him again one day. We know that. Pray for those grandchildren of yours and for all these intentions. Lord, you know, you comforted those who mourned, and I ask for special mercy on this decade for those right now who are approaching death, those who've gone before us, and for those now who miss those they love. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Julia is listening in Carson, California. Hi, Julia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, good afternoon. Hey. I am so happy to have gone across. First, and before I forget, I'd like to pray. I'd like the intentions of all those that couldn't get in today to be prayed for. And for my mother-in-law, Imelda Garcia, she entered hospice yesterday, so we're just waiting. For her spouse, Jose Garcia, her two sons, Miguel and Juan, and her grandchildren, Kenny, Carlos, Iris, and April.
Okay.
And all those people who love her. And everybody who finds themselves in this situation, who's lost loved ones.
Yep.
And we can't do and gather and hug. So...
Well, Julia, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be praying for you and this intention in particular, as my wife is in a very similar situation. Her cousin has gone on the hospice. So now all we can do is pray. The Lord told us to do that, right? To pray as much as you can for the dying. That these prayers could give those souls the grace they need for eternal salvation. And the Lord promised that he'd come as a merciful Savior for those who prayed this prayer for the dying. And that's what we have to trust in right now. I know it's all part of the journey we call life. We are created to live forever. We'll be reunited one day. So, Lord, I give you this important intention. I unite it to all who are now praying with me. We ask for your mercy on these critical intentions that we have, both temporal and spiritual, as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Joyce is praying with us in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I need prayers for my brother, Mark, who was diagnosed with leukemia in September, mm-hmm. and he underwent on Thursday a bone marrow transplant. I need two prayers that it's going to be successful.
All right, we got it. We're going to pray right now. And look, pray with faith and pray with trust. And let's ask the Lord. I was just reading a quote from St. Mother Teresa earlier. And she talked about, you know, just totally giving it all to the Lord, putting it in his merciful heart and not worrying, because it's not going to do anything to move the needle. But trust and faith in our prayer certainly will. So, Lord, I give to you this important intention. I give to you all those now on hold and all those united with me. I really ask you to read our hearts. And today, just respond, Lord, in a powerful and very visible way to those who are crying out to you. And we thank you for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasure Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
Mother Seraphim,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'd like to conclude today with one short prayer. And this is a prayer for anyone who is having difficulty surrendering to God's will. Sometimes life is difficult. We don't like the changes or the turns that our path takes us. You know, maybe it's the end of a job. Maybe it's the end of a relationship. Maybe it is a medical diagnosis. Maybe it's a hardship you're facing. Put it in the hands of God. I want you to submit to what He wants. We pray for miracles, but the Lord may have another answer, another solution, another way for us. And I'm telling you, it'll be better. Oh God, whose mercy is incomprehensible to every intellect, whether human or angelic, please bless me, your feeble child, to do your holy will as you make it known to me. For I desire nothing more than to fulfill your desires. Lord, here's my mind and my body, my will and my soul, my heart and all my love. Direct me according to your eternal plan. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was a surrender prayer that St. Faustina wrote. And I just love that. When you're in these difficult situations, I know we pray with confidence, we pray with faith. We really have to believe, and God will never fail us. But I also pray that the Lord will make clear and give me peace what His will is. And you should do the same thing. And if you do that, if you get rid of anxiety and worry, and you submit yourself to God's will, life changes for you. I'm telling you, the problems that face you diminish. They really do. So, something to think about today. All right, I'm going to take a short pause. Two quick things before I go. Please write to me with your answered prayers, because I hear every week from people who say, oh, the test results came back and the cancer is gone, or wow, you can't believe how this situation got resolved. Please write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. You can also send me prayer intentions. I can't always answer everybody personally just because of the volume of email, but I do read everything. I take a look at every email that comes in, and I pray for you. So please remember to do that and tell others about the chapel. That's the most important thing that you can do. Go take a short pause. We'll be back. We've got a lot to get into still, so stay with me.
We just sang the Alleluia. Everyone is standing, and it looks like the priest and the deacon are talking about something. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 17th Lenten lesson on the Mass. Did you ever wonder what the deacon asks the priest before he proclaims the gospel? He says, "Your blessing, Father." And then the priest says in a barely audible voice, "May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim the gospel worthily and well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." The gospel readings for weekdays follow a 2-year cycle, and for Sundays follow a 3-year cycle. The gospels are according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The 4 gospels we use today are the same used by the early Christians. In fact, the New Testament as we know it, 27 books in all, has been the same since at least 170 AD.
One of the 3 pillars of Lent is prayer. So make this your best Lent yet by joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
As they perceive their team winning, they get radicalized. So as Islam perceives itself advancing, there's a tremendous amount of excitement where they move from the future camp, thinking the world will submit to Allah in the future, they begin to move into the now camp.
What the mainstream media isn't saying. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, thanks for joining me. Good to be back here with you today. Hey, the Holy Father, as you know, visited Iraq and the beleaguered, war-torn Christians of that part of the world. And Christianity there has suffered under the Islamic State in pretty profound ways. Many people have left, as you heard a little bit earlier in the program. And if you missed my first hour, it's well worth going back and listening to. I spoke to a priest who's been there 15 times, and some of the horrors that he shared of what the people have gone through, what the church has endured, is heartbreaking. And yet the Christian call for all of us to forgive. I mean, none of us is immune. I'm sure you have been wounded by somebody. You have been betrayed. You have been hurt. Some wounds a little bit deeper than others. We're called to forgive. The Holy Father asked the Iraqi people to extend forgiveness to those who have persecuted them. And he shared stories of Catholic priests who had their 800-year-old churches taken away from them and turned into torture chambers, talked about, you know, women and children being abducted, raped. He's talking about the slaughter of children, the destruction of churches and history, and just deep, deep woundedness. You know, persecution, businesses taken, a whole litany of things that have taken place. Either you convert or you die. A lot of people had to leave as a result of that. So the there's a move right now in Iraq to have the main law of that nation be Sharia, the Islamic law. And if that's the case, is it compatible with Christianity? And you know, what is our call? Now, you got to think also about this. I mean, what happened in the early church? The early church in a very pagan, anti-Christian time went out and they showed love. They forgave those who persecuted them. And they brought about a great conversion. And Christianity spread to all the corners of the earth. During the bubonic plague, when everyone was fleeing and hiding, it was Christians that took to the streets. You know, so as difficult as it may be, love has got to be shown in these difficult situations. So when our Holy Father visited there, made a historic visit this last week, he met with, a lot of Muslim leaders probably is the best way to put it. But one of the more significant was the top Shiite leader in the country. Pope Francis held an interfaith meeting at the site that was once the city where Abraham, was called from, the city of Ur. The city where Abraham was from, and God called him to leave there to travel to what would later become the land of Israel. So, I mean, you see these great historical, biblical roots. So this kind of outreach, and I've had other guests on too talk about how Iraq really was ancient Mesopotamia. It was the cradle of Christianity. So to see the devastation that's taking place in our modern day, it's heartbreaking. This kind of outreach to Muslims isn't unique to Pope Francis. He wants to unify. He's coming as a pilgrim, he says. John Paul II, he wanted to go to the city of Ur himself during the Jubilee year 2000, but he wasn't able to do that. And a year later, he did go to Umayyad, the mosque there in Damascus, Syria, which is believed to be the tomb of St. John the Baptist. I would love to visit that. During that visit, he said, and this is John Paul's words. He said, I want to quote him. He says, "It's my ardent hope that Muslims and Christian religious leaders and teachers will present our two great religion communities as communities in respectful dialogue, never more as communities of conflict." And that's the way we look at it, right? That the ideologies are so radically different, they're always in conflict. Can we enter into dialogue with Islam? Unfortunately, that great hope has not been fulfilled of John Paul II, as you have seen repeatedly over the years. And maybe you're responsible and I'm responsible. Maybe we're not doing enough to pray and to sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in these persecuted parts of the world. And I think about that a lot. I had a phone call from a friend over the weekend. I was at home and I forget what I was doing. He rings me up actually gave me a wonderful pep talk, if you would. I mean, a spiritual pep talk that inspired me to fast. And I'm doing much, much more of that now. And the reality is that, we need to pray for each other. His prayers were wonderful to me, and I in turn now am praying for those who are being persecuted. And there's a lot to pray for in this country, from our own leadership to the culture of death, to the ideologies that are infecting our children and this next generation. But we are all one church, and when one part of the church is wounded or hurts, the entire body suffers. So I just want to put that before you today. I mean, I know you've got a lot of things to pray for. We all do, right? We often pray for ourselves. Perhaps think about what you would do if you were given a choice to convert to another faith or die. What would you do? I'd certainly want the prayers of the faithful behind me. The Holy Father is not stopping his outreach. Like the one he made over this past weekend, he's trying. I think what Pope Francis is trying to do is lower the tensions between the two faiths. Right, with Islam, it's not just Iraq and the Middle East that he's got to deal with, but there's Iraq, Iran, that divide, and Pakistan, which is now imprisoning Christians, and we've talked about that, right? Pakistan is imprisoning Christians left and right, for so-called blasphemy. And some of these can be made up, whatever. These crimes of blasphemy against Muhammad. And people are being persecuted, losing their jobs or ending up in jail. They can be put to death for that. They've been caned and flogged. So there's a lot of persecution coming from other Islamic countries, not just Iraq. And yet the Holy Father has called for not just dialogue, not just talk, but he wants mutual respect. That's what he wants, mutual respect. And I'm just going to call you to pray. You know, if you think about the three great religions of the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, right? They call these the great monotheistic religions. We all have the same roots, right? What's our origin? What's that commonality? Where do we stem from? We all profess to descend from the patriarch Abraham. So is there any possibility for eventual unity? It may sound absurd, but I think it can happen. I do. I do believe that one day that will happen. I've invited to join me today just to share some perspective, to get an inside view, if you will, of what it was like to be Islamic and then to convert to Christianity, to Catholicism. Daria Little is a convert from Islam. She was actually raised in Turkey as a Muslim, but then she found herself leaving the faith. And a lot of young Muslims are doing the same thing, just like our Catholics and Christians and so many other faiths. She, when she was a teenager, became an atheist, and then she began searching, and she eventually found Christianity, and then she made her way home into Catholicism, the church that Jesus Christ himself established, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And she wrote a book that you might want to read. You can find it on her website. It's darialittle.com, and the book is called From Islam to Christ, One Woman's Path from the Riddles of God. One Woman's Path Through the Riddles of God. And again, From Islam to Christ, if you put that in there and you put in her last name, Little, you'll find it. Go Daria Little, and Daria is spelled D-E-R-Y-A, little.com. Hey, Daria, thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I don't even know where to begin. I want to talk about the Holy Father. I want to talk about whether or not Catholicism and Islam are compatible. But let me start with you. Your own journey is not unlike teenagers around the world. A lot of people abandon the faith. You were raised, though, in a very strict, I'm assuming, faith. I mean, Islam. What happened? Give us a little bit of your story. What caused you to leave it, and how did you end up across the Tiber and in the church doors of the Catholic Church?
Okay. Let me start from here, because I think you eventually want to talk about whether these faiths are compatible with each other in the end.
Yeah.
One big difference that I think it's very hard for Westerners to understand is that Islam is a religion of fear. And it's not the holy fear like that we would, we would kind of relearn in Christianity. Actually, St. Thomas calls it the servile fear, right? Like it's the fear that the slave has towards his master. So that's how all Muslims are raised. And, I think his law, the Lord's law, is written in our hearts that
yes.
Most Muslims are just want to please him,
yep.
Like without even having heard about Christ. So I'm not saying like every Muslim is completely completely adhere to slave master mindset. I'm just talking about the teachings of this religion. So I really want people to separate the religion from its adherents. Most Muslims are, just like us. They want to raise their kids and families, have a nice home. So I'm just completely talking about Islam as teaching. So when, I was raised in that fear, and I talk about that in my book a lot, that it kind of paralyzes you without even you realizing it. So you're not allowed to question Allah. You're not ever about you're not allowed to doubt Allah. You're not allowed to criticize Muhammad as you talked about it. That's why it's blasphemous, even though they don't say that Muhammad is God.
Right.
So you kind of grow up in this, and then you're surrounded with this almost wall of fear that is very hard to crack, and that's one of the reasons gospel is very hard to take root in Muslim countries. For me, that crack came when my parents divorced, and I kind of had this crisis of faith, as it happens in the West as well. Divorce kind of really shakes a child's life. And I started to doubt everything my parents taught me, and Islam was one of them. And when I read the Quran for the first time in Turkish, and Muhammad's life, I realized that there is no way I can follow this man. He was, you know, the way he treated women, the way he waged wars, like, I just couldn't follow this man. Like, now I profess to follow Christ. So then I became an atheist, and eventually I met Protestant missionaries when I was older, when I was 19. And by then I was very kind of, I was sure that I knew everything.
Right.
By the grace of God, these Protestant missionaries were very, they were willing to share the gospel with me, and it was wonderful. And it's a very long story. I wrote, you know, it's, you know, I could write a book about it.
Yeah, right.
And after I met this Protestant missionary, about almost 3.5 years later, I was baptized in the Protestant church. And then after that, a good friend of mine became Catholic, and I was appalled. How could he become a papist, you know?
Right.
Because most Muslim countries are specifically anti-Catholic. Like the Ottoman Empire, which is, you know, ancestors, they sided with the Protestant princes during the Reformation. So they're like, there's a lot of anti-Catholicism when we think about Christianity, that's the Catholic Church. So I was very prejudiced about the church, but the more I read about theology, and I found that all the questions I had with Protestantism were answered in Catholicism, I was received into the church in 2008, so it hasn't been even that long. But
yeah.
So that's my, yeah.
Well, I know, I love it because, like, you were a Muslim, you lived through it, you've left, you found the church. Let's talk a little bit about the compatibility. How different is Islam from Christianity? You know, we hear a lot of secularists, even some Christians or Catholics, who say that religion is all the same, you know, and I would argue against that. It's just different paths to the same goal. Give me your perspective on this, because, you know, our Holy Father now is calling us, in some respects, to not only respect each other, but to dialogue, and is looking for unity. How do we get unity between these faiths, and are they compatible?
What do you mean with unity? Like, can we live together?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, of course we can manage to live without killing each other. However, when it's... It's so hard for a Muslim to hear when we call God Father. Like, they will, most of the religious leaders wouldn't even sit at the same table if you refer Allah as Father, or talk about Jesus being the Son of God, or you talk about Trinity. They wouldn't even sit at the same table with you if you start talking about that. Sure, you can talk about, let's have in the world, let's not kill each other. But at the root of the problem, Islam denies two main pillars of Christianity, the Trinity and the Incarnation.
Right.
So if you can't even talk about it, argue about it, also you need to remember that Islam believes that Christians perverted Christ's teaching. They believe that Jesus never claimed to be God. So it was the Christians who perverted it. So, like, we are, like, when Christians are seen, they see liars who have perverted Allah's teaching. So it's, when it comes to true dialogue, to find the truth, right? Like, we can't be both right. Christ is either God or not. There is no middle way, unfortunately. So when it comes to finding that truth, that kind of dialogue is very hard with Muslims.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold the thought, Daria. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. Our toll-free number is 888-914-9149. Talking to a convert from Islam to Catholicism and responding to the Holy Father's call, not for just dialogue, but mutual respect. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com
Forrester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. It's truth, hope, and a look at life you won't get anywhere else.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. Give me a look at the Holy Father's visit. I have not seen a whole lot of coverage of it. There's been some. I'm not saying there has not been, but what did he say? And what's it mean for our church, especially our persecuted brothers and sisters? And how do we find unity? How do we live in mutual respect for one another? How do we coexist? At the same time, I think it's our mission to bring them to Christ. Will the Islamic people come to Jesus Christ? I'll tell you something I had heard a long time ago, and I think it's continuing. When I was a documentary filmmaker, I was in a place called Zaytun, Egypt. And this was before I was, you know, I wasn't there when these happened, but I documented. I spoke to physicians. I spoke to eyewitnesses. I spoke to experts. I had a film crew, and we documented a phenomenon where the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, appeared in a place called Zaytun. It's believed that the Holy Family, when they left under the persecution at the time of Herod, when they fled to Egypt, they passed through this town here in Zaytun. The Virgin Mary appeared on top of a Coptic Orthodox church. And this church was right across from a firehouse. So a bunch of the fire guys are sitting outside when they see a luminous woman on this dome, and they thought it was a girl who was going to commit suicide. So they bring out the fire trucks, everybody gathers around, and it wasn't. It was simply the Mother of God. It was the Virgin Mary. And for the course of 2 years, she appeared visibly. There were photographs that were taken of this luminosity. Strange doves appeared in the sky. There was a smell of incense. Kirola V, endorsed this particular vision at the time. And like I said, competent eyewitnesses saw this. There were doctors. There were generals. And a 250,000 people testified to this reality that there was a woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, appearing, and she appeared to all peoples of faith, not just Catholics, not just Christians, not to just Jews, but to our Islamic brothers and sisters. And ever since that, I've always, and there's been other places in the Soviet Ukraine, in Batania, Venezuela, the Virgin Mary's made very visible appearances to multitudes, not just to individual seers. But there are accounts right now, and I've been tracking these, and I've shared some of these with you in before that. For at least the last 10, 15 years, reports are proliferating of Muslims converting to Christianity. Why? They're converting through dreams. Dreams? Yeah, they're converting through dreams. There was a survey that was done where 600 ex-Muslims who now follow Jesus, they say that he appeared to them and either played a minor role in their conversion or a major one. Many people are reporting having seen him. You know, you think of Abraham, you think of Joseph, think of the father of Jesus. You know, dreams played a big role in the life of Joseph. But what about our own time? Did God just stop using this method of communication? No, not at all. There are many accounts of people who know nothing about Christianity at all. They say that this man from Galilee would appear to them. And would call to them with outstretched arms. And when they wanted to find out who it was, they discovered Christianity, discovered Jesus Christ. And Jesus told this one person, he says, if you want to come to me, come. And she did. Converts from the Middle East, one person was laying in bed with a severe headache, and then she said, a white figure with a wonderful, peaceful face appeared, laid his hands 3 times on her. The following morning, these intractable headaches that she could never shake had completely sealed, ceased. She was completely healed of this. A man in Africa, had a very similar account. In fact, I spoke to Emmanuel Segastache, who was a young Muslim boy who knew nothing about the faith, and Jesus appeared to him multiple times, taught him all the tenets of the faith, and he went to his local bishop, and the bishop said there's no way he could have learned these theological concepts. And this young boy became a Catholic as well, I believe, or Christian. I'm joined today by Daria Little. She was in Islam, a follower of Islam as a child, left the faith for atheism, and through the grace of God is now Catholic. And, this is a strange story, and I could go on and tell lots of accounts. But, Daria, what are you hearing? Is this fantasy, or are conversions taking place because Jesus is either appearing or coming to Islamic brothers and sisters in dreams and teaching them the faith or inviting them to follow him. What do you know?
Okay, it's tying with what we were talking about earlier, because there isn't that much missionary effort left in Muslim countries, to be mm-hmm. honest, especially on the Catholic side, because
very true.
They're trying to survive. So I understand, but guess what? God still loves Muslims, and they want him to come to him through Amen. His son, because there's no other way, there's no other salvation, right? Islam is not a true faith. So what does he do? Does he need us? No. You know, he still can do his job. I mean, he really wants us to spread the faith. That's his, you know, charge to us. But, like, even in my own conversion, like, it's very hard, again, to understand how hard to become a Christian in these lands. And I grew up in Turkey. It's very secular, moderate. It's changed a lot since I've moved to the West. But, like, in other of these Arab countries, it's basically a death sentence if you're caught, right? So it's so hard. So people almost need a supernatural sign. So it's not like in the West that, like, you it's almost the individual has more responsibility in the West for their own conversion. Like, you know, you have so much available. You can go to Mass whenever you want. You can read whatever you want. But in these Arab countries, in these Muslim countries, it's not possible. I had a vision to convert. It was my, like, final push from God, because I think he had enough of me not wanting to become a Christian. But a friend of mine, we become friends after her conversion. She was raised Muslim, and she started to have doubts. She lives in a Middle Eastern country, and she prayed. So she fasted all day, and she prayed to Allah that she would send her Muhammad in a dream so that all these doubts would go away, because she was really afraid. So she goes to sleep that night, and she sees our Lord with Our Lady standing behind him.
Oh, wow.
So she tried to find these Catholic churches to baptize, and nobody would even talk to her and her husband. And so all these Protestants are like, yeah, come here, we baptize you. But she didn't, because Our Lady was there. So she knew it was supposed to be a Catholic church. So she eventually, we eventually found somebody to baptize her. Thankfully, she's... she's within the limits of the church now. But so, and it's not this story. It's not the only story. There's a sheikh. I don't want to say to be too specific, but sheikh is like this really high level religious leader, and he had an infected leg. It was like it was going to kill him. And like you described with the lady, this man, which he knew as being our Lord, he touched in this delirious fever, this man touched his leg, and this man was completely healed.
Wow.
And there's just so many. It's because these people need that supernatural touch, and sometimes that's the only way for them to get in touch with Christianity. I mean, thankfully there's the internet now. And it's an age that no Muslims never had this much access to truth.
So
I think there is a rise with conversions. And ISIS made a lot of people doubt. Like before ISIS, most of the Muslim countries were getting secularized, and they were kind of feeling comfortable. And ISIS made a lot of people question what they actually believed in. That's one of the reasons for conversion. So it's like there's a lot of factors,
Daria, thank you. I've got to leave it here because I'm up against the clock, but I want to let people know about your book. If you want to read her story, it's called From Islam to Christ, One Woman's Path Through the Riddles of God. From Islam to Christ by Daria Little. That's DERYALittle.com. DariaLittle.com. When we come back, we'll change gears, but just a final thought here. Jesus... he prayed for unity amongst his followers during the Last Supper, right? Well, Muslims aren't followers of his. I'm sure he'd like to see unity amongst all the children of Abraham. Let's pray with confidence for that.